You're with Monitor, best weekend companion, whether you're at home or traveling. Mason Williams Orchestra proves it with Barocca Nova. In this half hour, a few eyebrows may be raised at the findings of a survey which later became a book titled Sex and the Senior Citizen. Its co-author tells Monitor what she found out and how in just a few minutes.
I love you, Alice P. Douglas, and so does Gertrude Stein. I love you, Alice P. Douglas. I'm gonna change your name
Ordinarily, you don't associate the word sex with the words senior citizen. But don't be hasty. there's a good deal of evidence that proves they are indeed associated. Your regular Sunday evening host, Brad Crandall, taped this interview before he took off for vacation.
According to the dust jacket copy on a new book, quote, youth has no patent on sex. In fact, the Social Security set is keeping up with the jet set in the romance department. The book is titled Sex and the Senior Citizen and is the result of interviews done by a team of newspaper women, Revy Wickler and Peg Savage Gray. Our monitor guest right now is one half of that team, Peg Savage Gray. Peg, nice to have you with us.
Thank you, Brad.
Now, this book obviously had to begin from one specific newspaper article or a specific series. How'd this come about? What prompted all this?
Well, actually, Mrs. Wickler has a column, a senior citizen's column, and one of the letters she received was from a couple who said, well, they have a problem. They're living together, and the daughter is coming in the height of the tourist season. She wants to stay with her mother. And, well, it was very complicated. The daughter didn't know this about her mother. And they said, what are we going to do? Where are we going to put her? We can't let her know, but I can't put the man I'm living with out. Well, naturally, we were startled and shocked, and we did a little research, and we found this wasn't the only couple. There were thousands of senior citizens on the Gold Coast of Florida living together, and one of the reasons was an economic one.
Separate Social Security checks?
Separate Social Security checks. They would have two names on the mailbox to make sure they would get their checks, and if the a couple were married, the widow would lose the pension, the Social Security benefit check, and so we talked to the Social Security officials about this, and they said there's really nothing you can do. You have to change the law. So as a result of our research in this matter, the congressman from Florida introduced legislation and the law was changed. She gets 85% of what her late husband got, and if she remarries, she gets 50% of the new husband or her deceased husband, whichever amount is larger.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, there's another question in the jacket here while we're on the subject, which says, how much sex life is there after 60? Which is an intriguing question. What does your research show?
Our research shows that senior citizens have sex life going into their 60s, their 70s, and yes, their 80s, and they're very happy. And as they put it, you don't eat as much and you don't eat as large meals as you did when you were a younger person, but you still have a sex life. And in our book, we have instances of homosexuality and prostitution, and are we still on the air?
Yeah.
Some diversions from normal sex and a multitude of subjects as far as sex is concerned.
I believe it, I believe it. You'll learn more about the amorous pursuits of the aged shortly, including an ingenious method used by one lively lady in courting widowers. Here's Ed Ames with some basic instructions in love, old, young, or in between.
Before you half remember what her smile was like, before you half recall the day you found her, kiss her now while she's young. Kiss her now while she's yours. Kiss her now while she needs your arms around her. For if you let a moment come between you now, it soon becomes a day, a year, a lifetime. Blink your eye, turn your head, and you've lost her, and you'll spend half your life wondering how. So before you forget how you loved her, kiss her now. Kiss her now.
pop music, fashion, the soul sound, a musical on elections, and a record producer with a string of hits. That's all part of the Now Sound this week, the exciting new afternoon program Monday through Friday on NBC Radio. Among host Roscoe's guests will be Aretha Franklin, James Brown, The Righteous Brothers, mini-creator Mary Quant, composer Oscar Brand, and tomorrow, Monday, Roscoe chats with singer Dionne Warwick. Now captures the tempo of today every weekday afternoon on NBC Radio. Weekends, of course, it goes without saying, but we'll say it anyway. Stay on the Monitor Beacon.
Here's an important message from Richard Nixon.
As we enter the last few days of this critical campaign of 1968, there is one issue in which there is a complete difference of opinion between the two candidates. That's the issue of law and order in the United States. Mr. Humphrey defends the record of the last 4 years. He defends the Attorney General and his policies. I completely disagree. I say that when we've had crime going up 9 times as fast as population, and when 43% of the American people are afraid to walk on the streets of their cities at night, it's time for a new policy. I pledge a new Attorney General. I pledge an all-out war against organized crime in this country. I pledge that we shall have policies that will restore freedom from fear on the streets of the cities of America and all over this great land of ours.
This time, vote like your whole world depended on it. This time, Nixon. The preceding pre-recorded political announcement was paid for by the Nixon Agnew Victory Committee.
WNBC, Radio 66, New York. At 18 minutes after the Monitor Hour, Hugo, Luigi, and Maggie.
Minutes ago, a lady named Peg Savage Gray, co-author of a book titled Sex and the Senior Citizen, brought us all up to date on the romantic lives being led by many of our citizens in the so-called golden years. Her research uncovered some surprising facts about techniques used by older people in finding mates. Miss Gray and regular host Brad Crandall cover that part of the story right now.
There are several how-tos on this book cover. One is how to get married after 60, even if it's for the first time. Mm-hmm. Now, what are the ground rules there?
Well, there are many people who go through life, and for some reason, one reason or another, they just never get married. They've either helped raise their Other children or their brothers and sisters or nieces and nephews. They've put people through school. They've helped their elderly parents. But they've never had a romance life themselves. And in our book, we have instances of people who come to Miami Beach to retire, who think their life is finished, it's over, their job's work is done, and they find for the first time they're relaxed, they have time on their hands, and they meet people, and they one thing goes to another, and it blooms into romance and marriage, sometimes for the first time in their 60s.
Well, considering the statistics that women live longer than men, and that therefore, obviously, the percentages are going to be pretty high, aren't they, in terms of the number of women available and the number of men available in the senior citizen category, the competition must be pretty rough.
Well, yes, it is, and sometimes the widows have to go to some pretty long extremes to meet a man and to catch a man. We have one story we call the obituary reader, and that was just what happened. The lady read the obituary column, and it sounds a little morbid, but it isn't quite that bad. She even went to as far as to go to the funeral and to...
Of the wife, you mean?
The wife's funeral. She mingled with the guests, pretend that she was had known the woman, and she comforted the widower. And she didn't let it go at that. She'd come to see him. She brought him some homemade chicken soup.
She continued to comfort.
She continued to comfort. Mm-hmm. And after a respectable time, she said, "Look, we get along so well. Why don't we get married?" Well, the children thought, well, this was a good thing, because here they had their elderly father on their hands, and he was lonely, and now they have this wonderful woman. They weren't too sure who she was. She might have been a friend of their mother's, but they were happy. And as far as the woman was concerned, she only could hope that he would live longer than the last man she found the obituary column.
Uh-huh, yeah, that makes a little more sense. Now, what about divorce, senior citizen style? How does that differ from the ordinary, rather pathetic procedures?
Well, we're talking about two types of divorces. That's the marriage that breaks up after many, many years. They've been married a long time, and they say, "Well, we stay together to raise the children."
Mm-hmm.
And so they come to Miami Beach, they retire, and they find they have nothing but time on their hands and each other.
And nothing in common except
and they have nothing
their old
in
problems,
common.
Yeah.
That's right, and that's the end of their marriage. And then there are other reasons why people marry and then break up. If a second marriage is going to break up, we usually find within a year or 18 months after the marriage. If they're not compatible, it's going to show almost immediately with the senior citizens. They don't waste any time. And
they don't think they've got any time to waste, you know.
They don't. That's true. They feel they have no time to waste. So it might be a matter of insecurity as far as the man's concerned, or it might be the fact that their sex life is not adjusted, and sometimes it's financial.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the first things they talk about, our senior citizens, financial matters, mm-hmm. and making ends meet.
Yeah, they're on the senior citizen who's on a fixed income and doesn't have the probability of being able to recover any losses that he may incur, I imagine, gets a little more careful about the way he allows it to be frittered away.
That's right, they're a lot more practical.
Our guest, Peg Savage Gray, who, with co-author Revy Wickler, has written a new book with a startling title, Sex and the Senior Citizen.
L'optimaire Peabody qui a fait son temps de guerre du côté anglais est un fantôme féroce qui ne me pardonne pas d'avoir choisi pour mes noces un mari François et l'optimaire toutes les nuits en colère me crie. Mon ancêtre Mortimer Peabody a perdu une autre guerre.
Sang it, Petula Clark, is also the lady who composed it. The following is a paid political announcement.
Many dissident Democrats have said that they plan to drop out of the election and hand the victory to Nixon. Others, even more upset, say they'll express their disgust by voting for George Wallace. The dissident Democrats hope to elect Nixon, so they'll have 4 years of characteristic Republican recession and regression in which to take over the defeated Democratic Party. If this is your view, please consider this. In voting for Wallace, you probably will get Nixon. But that's not the worst thing that could happen. You could vote for Wallace and get Wallace. There is a civilized alternative, of course, to the slick, evasive Nixon-Agnew ticket or the cockeyed, explosive Wallace-LeMay ticket. It is the Humphrey Muskie ticket, which many people, even dissident Democrats, are now coming to feel is the only trustworthy ticket.
Paid for by Citizens for Humphrey Muskie. Called Hey Jude, being played by the Sounds of Our Times. Tuesday night, one of the most important sounds of our times will be the election night coverage on NBC Radio and TV. Russ Ward and Peter Hackis will be anchormen for radio, assisted by Dean Mell and Robert McCormick. Bill Ryan will handle projections and analysis for the most complete and comprehensive reporting of this vital national event. Election coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on NBC Radio. It's nationwide, of course, and in the area of Pocatello, Idaho, you'll hear it on KSEI. Right after your station gives its name, Monitor returns. I'm Frank Messer. Monitor, Frank Messer, latest sports coming up right after the Vogues do their thing.
You are my special angel, sent from up above. The Lord smiled down on me and sent an angel.
You are my special.
monitor sports with a check of pro football results first. In the AFL, New York 25, Buffalo 21. The Jets' Jim Turner kicks 6 field goals to tie a league record, the winning one with 3:26 to go. Denver 35, Boston 14. The Broncos won their 5th in a row as Steve Tensi passed for 2 touchdowns and Floyd Little rushed for a club record 147 yards and scored once. Houston 27, Cincinnati 17, the Bengals' 6th straight loss. Don Troll passed for 2 Oiler touchdowns. Paul Robinson ran for both Cincinnati TDs. San Diego 34, Miami 28. Johnny Hadel and Jim Allison each hit Lance Allworth with second-half TD passes to break open a tight game. And Oakland tightened up that Western Division race even further by knocking off Kansas City 38-21. In the NFL, Chicago 13, Green Bay 10 in the 99th renewal of this ancient rivalry. The Bears won it with 26 seconds left to play on a 43-yard free-kick field goal by Mac Percival, who beat Minnesota with a field goal with 3 seconds to go last week. Percival's boot today overshadowed an amazing running performance by teammate Gale Sayers, who slashed through the Packers for a Chicago rushing record of 205 yards. The loss was Green Bay's 4th, and Mr. Vince Lombardi apparently knew what he was doing when he decided to leave the coaching to someone else. Baltimore 26, New York nothing. Super sub Earl Morrill tormented his former Giant teammates by tossing 2 touchdown passes. He now has 17 for the season. It was the first whitewash on New York since 1963. St. Louis 45, winless Philadelphia 17. The Eagles' 8th straight loss. Jim Hart and Roy Shivers each ran for 2 scores and combined on a touchdown pass. Minnesota 27, Washington 14. Joe Kapp passed for 2 touchdowns and Charlie West scored with a 98-yard punt return. Dallas 17, New Orleans 3. Don Meredith and Bob Hayes combined on a pair of TD aerials. Pittsburgh 41, Atlanta 21. Roy Jefferson caught 4 Steeler touchdown passes, 3 from Dick Shiner. Los Angeles 10, Detroit 7. Bruce Gossett's 37-yard field goal in the second period was the margin of victory. And Cleveland turned back San Francisco 33-21. Other sports news and a look at the week ahead after some monitor music.
Sometimes I imagine myself as a drifter, seeker of fortunes, connoisseur of great wine. Dashing through meadows of yellow and green, trying to catch the impossible dream, leaving the straight life behind. Sometimes my thoughts may find me in Mexico, drinking tequila, going out of my mind, having a ball on a couple of balls, treating the ladies to corn on the cob, leaving the straight life behind. Suddenly all my silly thoughts disappear. She comes to me softly with crackers and beer, winking and blinking and blowing my ear, running away with my mind. It's great to be in love, I'm not really thinking of leaving this straight life behind. I'm just playing a game in my mind. Going to nowhere with no worry of time, running along chasing after a train, humming a song in the sun and the rain, leaving the straight life behind. I can just see me on a tropical island, riding the surf and drinking coconut wine, having me fun with golden girls in the sand, chasing the sun through an innocent land, leaving the straight life behind. Suddenly all my silly thoughts disappear. She comes to me softly with crackers and beer, winking and blinking and blowing my ear, running away with my mind. It's great to be in love, I'm not really thinking of leaving the straight life behind. I'm just playing a game in my mind.
Now let's check some more sports. Britain's Graham Hill drove a Lotus Ford to victory in the Mexican Grand Prix today. It clinched his 2nd World Driving Championship.
Second in the championship standings for 1968 was Scotland's Jackie Stewart, who finished seventh today. St. Louis Cardinal broadcaster Harry Carey is reported to be making progress, although he is still in critical condition. Carey was struck by a car early this morning while he was crossing a St. Louis street. Carey's physician says that if he continues to show improvement, he may be taken off the critical list tomorrow. In golf, Aussie Kel Nagel won the Australian PGA Championship for the sixth time today by six strokes over Jack Nicklaus. The 47-year-old Nagel came in with a 3-under par 71 for a 72-hole score of 276. Nicklaus, who started the day five strokes off the pace, closed with a 72 for a 282. Arnold Palmer shot a 71 and tied for sixth at 293, one stroke better than South Africa's Gary Player. Looking ahead, tomorrow the Wheelchair Olympics open in Israel with 900 paralyzed sportsmen from 26 nations, including the United States, participating. Tuesday, the winner of the American League's MVP award will be announced, and the National Horse Show opens in Madison Square Garden. Thursday, the Hawaiian Open Golf Tournament. Friday, the ladies' PGA Civitan Open in Corpus Christi, Texas. Saturday, the United States-India Davis Cup Interzone Finals in San Juan, Puerto Rico. The $75,000 added Gardenia at Garden State, and the $50,000 added Romer Handicap at Aqueduct. And Sunday, the six-race Canadian-American Challenge Cup Auto Racing Series will wind up in Las Vegas. And that's what is and will be in sports. Music directly ahead, so stay right here on the Monitor Beacon. World news, local news, sports news, business news, all the news. Weeknight, 7 to 7:45 on WNBC Radio 66, New York. Before the Monitor Hour and the Ray Conniff Singers.
She dream about the love we used to share.
following word on behalf of the Council for Financial Aid to Education, Incorporated. 7 million young men and women are in college now. In 10 years, there'll be 10 million. That's going to take both more buildings and more teachers. Both cost money, and tuition only provides about one-third of it. Colleges need help. Colleges don't make profits. They do pay dividends. Give to the college of your choice. By the way, coming up shortly is Monitor's College Poll, a check on student preferences for president.
There's a boy, a little boy, shooting arrows in the blue, and he's aiming them at someone, but the question is at who? Is it me or is it you? It's hard to tell until you're hit, but you'll know it when they hit you, 'cause they hurt a little bit. Here they come, pouring out of the blue. A little arrow's for me and for you. You're falling in love again, falling in love again. Little arrows in your clothing, little arrows in your hair. When you're in love, you'll find those little arrows everywhere. Little arrows that will hit you once and hit you once again. Little arrows that hit everybody every now and then. Some folks are run and others hide, but there ain't nothing they can do. And some folks put on armor, but the arrows go straight through. So you see, there's no escape, so why not face it and admit that you love those little arrows when they hurt a little bit. Here they come pouring out.
Recent import from Britain, Little Arrows. And now Monitor's College Poll, the results of a presidential poll conducted on nearly 100 campuses throughout the country. The final results are in, and it's obvious that Richard Nixon sweeps the campus vote over Vice President Humphrey. In this poll, conducted by the Greenwich College Research Center, students were asked this question: if the election were held today and you were entitled to vote, who would be your choice for president? Nixon scored 40.5%. Humphrey, 29%. 27.3% undecided. Wallace was far behind with a tiny 6.4%. Geographically, Nixon was strongest in the Midwest, far west, and the South. Humphrey's stronghold was the East. That undecided category, nearly 30%, is considered unusually large, and the McCarthy and Kennedy image remains strong. Among the vice presidential candidates, Senator Muskie is the most popular, and his appeal crosses party lines. 3 out of 4 students thought Muskie would make a better president than Agnew. But almost all the students are disappointed with this year's candidates, and a full 80% said that the method for selecting them should be changed. On Monitor's College Poll next week, we'll keep you posted on other important student attitudes across the nation's college campuses. The angels and a few heavenly choruses of But For Love.
So it's raining again.
Political announcement is paid for by Citizens for Humphrey Muskie.
Let's take a better look at Richard Nixon. Nixon is the one who'll tell you he's for the working man, but has always voted against him. Nixon is the one who pledges to end the Vietnam War, but can't say how. Nixon is the one who promises security to older citizens, but opposes Medicare. Apparently, Nixon is the one who isn't quite the one.
Piano touch of Roger Williams, Only for Lovers. What's uppermost in a person's mind on the first Sunday in November? Well, certainly election on Tuesday, where the candidates were today, what they did, what they said. I sort of wonder if the latest polls show any great changes among how people are going to vote and why. Well, stay tuned, because whatever is news at this hour, NBC Radio has it. And Dean Mell will tell us about it shortly. This is Frank Messer.
The more we hear, the more we learn. To keep well informed is of major concern. So listen.